Again, apologize to the members of the audience for our going over on the session. We didn't expect there to be a number of amendments on controversial bills, but regardless, Representative Ward, would you since you're a co-author on the Representative Haas on the Ward bill, why don't you just present it if you know what it is? And there's a summary sheet there from House Research. I think it's a pretty simple bill. We don't have a form, do we?
Thank you. I would like to move House File.
We'll have to wait till any motion until we get a quorum.
The House File 2524 expands the definition to include resident students of spouse and of children.
Representative Ward, you can move. He's presenting your bill. So you can take over now.
Nicely done, Representative Ward.
Yes. Welcome to the committee, and one of us will move your bill as soon as we get a quorum. Why don't you just quickly tell us the reason for the bill? Because I'm puzzled. Who, are you marrying somebody or what? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 2524 came to me from a constituent who was served in our armed services in Connecticut, married a young lady out in Connecticut, moved back here. They both wanted to attend college. And found out that she was not eligible for any financial aid for a year due that she wasn't a resident of Minnesota. So this bill will allow her to allow all spouses of veterans that moved back to Minnesota that weren't a resident to just be eligible for financial aid. The children of the dependent are already under that classification, but the spouse was not. So this is an opportunity. This is a chance to again show our veterans that we want them back here in Minnesota. This is one of the things that the governor has proposed, is to try to have some initiatives that would help our military folks want to come back to Minnesota and move in, you know, stay in Minnesota. So that's the purpose of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions of Representative Ward, Representative
Pop? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question because I'm just confused by this. When you said that she was not eligible for financial aid. I was thinking that we're actually talking about residency and not necessarily financial aid. I mean, that she wouldn't be eligible as a state resident, and so she wasn't able to get in-state tuition. I don't know if that's technically different from financial aid, or anyway, I'm just kind of confused, I guess, about what this will do. This will allow somebody to be able to be seen as a state resident immediately.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
That is correct, yes.
I think it's a pretty simple, straightforward bill, and Representative Ward, when we do get one more member for a quorum, I think we need one more, we'll move your bill for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill and leave it here, okay?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay. Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair, we're actually realized that the DE amendment didn't get to the committee in time, so the pages are going to have to run off a copy of it.
Okay, why don't you explain your bill? Representative Kalin has a bill that is providing with the environmental issues, and he was going to use the Department of Employment and Economic Development grant program, but now you've change that, and your amendment will change it to the Department of Commerce.
Generally so, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing House File 3999. The core of House File 39 is lining up our sound environmental and energy policies that the legislature has enacted over the last several years, our renewable energy standard, our energy conservation goal, our greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals, our Clean Water Legacy Program, and our expanded use of biofuels, our 25 by 25 biofuels goals, and really trying to ramp up and accelerate our development of green technologies and green businesses in Minnesota. There are still pieces of the original bill, the 116J pieces, that will encourage those green economy projects to be eligible for a few deed grants, including the workforce, Greater Minnesota, business infrastructure grants and some job training grant programs, and then ultimately work with the Department of Commerce, as the DE amendment will have, to actually look at all state grants and loan programs administered by any state agency to optimize the growth of the green economy.
Excuse me for interrupting.
I'll go for it, Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkinson moves the Ward bill. House file 2524 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus higher education workforce development bill. Any questions on that? Motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. And then Representative Haas moves House file 3999 be recommended to pass and re-referred to
The Committee on Energy, Finance, and I guess to the Finance Committee.
It has to go to the Finance, or Education. All right. Representative Haas moves that House file 3999 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Education and Economic Competitiveness Division of Finance. And go ahead. And Representative McFarland, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, when the DE1 amendment is fully copied and passed out, you'll see that we've changed the report that we were asking the Commissioner of Deed to make to Commissioner of Commerce in consultation with Deed to, again, analyze all the state and grant and loan programs administered by a state agency to optimize the growth of the green economy. And then Section 5 is an outgrowth of the Steel Workers Initiative, the Blue-Green Alliance Initiative, to create a task force of public and private sector, MinSQ and the University of Minnesota, the Chamber of Commerce and others, including the Office of Energy Security, DEED and others, to look at doing a market analysis over the next 8 months for growing our green jobs. One of the things that I heard over conferences and activities over the last year around the country is that Minnesota has these strong energy policies, but our economic activity there is lagging behind states like Iowa and Illinois and Pennsylvania, and then our western neighbors as well. And this is really a strong jobs bill, as you know, Mr. Chair. On the range, we have lots of opportunities for wind turbines and cogeneration waste heat recovery projects. We've been trying to attract wind turbine manufacturers to the state. We need to beef up our infrastructure and also beef up our incentives and our opportunities in the green economy. And lastly, Mr. Chair and members, I want to highlight a meeting that several of us were a part of about 6 to 7 weeks ago in downtown Minneapolis with Lois Quam, the Director of Alternative Investments at Piper Jaffray. At this meeting was representatives from 3M, from the University of Minnesota. There were four legislators there. There were two representatives from Piper Jaffray, different divisions. There was there were at least two venture capitalists who were instrumental in creating the boom in the Silicon Valley. And my quick little count, Mr. Chair and members, around the table was that there was somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 billion represented at the table, asking the question about whether Minnesota can become the Silicon Valley of clean energy. I think we'll wait for the full bore testimony with Ms. Quam and other investors and others ready to rock and roll to make this happen till we get to the Energy Committee. But I don't think that we can understate the economic opportunity possibilities and the job opportunities that the green economy represents. And I think it's good for our environment. It's good for MinSQ and the U and all of our education system. This is a new Apollo race to get the science and technology started in third and fourth grade, going all the way up to fourth class. And this is really the jobs program for the 21st century in Minnesota, one of those key elements, as you know, Mr. Chair. But that'll stand for questions.
Representative Haas moves the DE1 amendment to get the bill into the form that Representative Kalin wants. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Questions? Representative Kalin, so the lead all I'm looking here at Section 1 still involves the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and is the commissioner referred to in Subdivision 2 the commissioner of deed?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, that is correct. That is the commissioner of deed.
Okay, and
And I believe that may be the last reference to the Commissioner of Deed having explicit responsibilities. If you'd like to actually transfer that responsibility to the Commissioner of Commerce in consultation with the Commissioner of Deed, I'm happy to make that change now or later, as is your wish.
I'll talk to you about that when it gets to Representative Murphy's committee, okay?
Okay.
Do other members have any questions on the amendment? Representative Gonser.
I don't have any questions, but I have a comment. I know Cross Anderson, one of Minnesota's largest builders, wanted a job skills partnership grant to teach green building at St. Paul College, and I believe that was approved for $400,000, so I think we're on our way.
Okay. Other questions? If not, then Representative Hawes removes his motion that House File 3999, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to Representative Murphy's Committee on Education and Economic Competitiveness. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr.
You're on your way. I don't know, members, if we can hear. I think what I'm going to do, because we're already over our time limit, and I hate to do this to Representative Marquardt, because I know he had a guest come down from Moorhead, but I think there's some questions on his bill, and also on Representative Nelson's workers' comp bill, I understand. There's a few questions on that, although it's been agreed to by labor and industry both. So, maybe what we'll do is, there is someone in the audience that came to my office today on that bill. Ma'am, would you come down and give your on your concerns about Representative Nelson's bill, even though it's not in front of us, so the committee can hear it. And when we bring the bill up tomorrow, we'll take your comments into consideration.
Thanks.
One way or the other. Welcome to the committee. You just identify yourself for the team.
My name is Catherine Berg, and I'm here wearing three hats, really, as a citizen, as a complementary and alternative healthcare practitioner. I practice classical homeopathy, and also as a representative of the Minnesota Natural Health Legal Reform Project. And the workers' compensation bill contains in it a provision which would prevent Minnesota workers' compensation for paying for therapies received from unlicensed complementary and alternative health care providers who are currently legally practicing under Minnesota Statute 146A. And we would like to have that particular provision removed from the bill. We believe that its inclusion has some unintended consequences. One of those consequences would be that there is likely going to be some people who are currently receiving care who will, at the very least, have to change practitioners and, at the worst, drop their therapy. We understand there's a provision in the bill which says, well, if you're unlicensed but you're operating and practicing under the same roof, basically, as somebody who's licensed, well, then it's okay and then it can be covered. But for a person such as myself, there's probably two people in the whole state of Minnesota who would be qualified to even supervise me, because they don't have the skills or the background that I have in my particular modality. In fact, I, for the first 6 years of my practice, practiced in a chiropractic office. And if I had asked him to okay a worker's comp, one of two things would have happened. One of them is he would have signed off on it and had nothing more to do with it, which means it isn't being supervised, right? Or he would have said, only if they become my patient first. And then that makes it more expensive and not always even relevant. Sometimes the chiropractic isn't the appropriate path for somebody. We have spoken with three of the key players in this bill. We've spoken with Ray Waldron of the AFL-CIO, and he's fine with having this provision removed. We have spoken with David Olson from the Chamber of Commerce. He is another co-chair of the Workman's Comp Advisory Council. And he's okay with it being removed as long as Steve Swigum is okay with it being removed. And we have tried to find out if they're okay with it, but we have not been able to hear back from them on whether they are okay with it. They haven't let us know one way or another. Another concern about this bill is that we don't even know why this is in there. The authors of the bill have been unable to tell us on either the House or the Senate side why that was included. We aren't asking anybody to proactively advocate that workers' comp claimants choose non-licensed therapies. The state, as the law currently stands, has the ability to say, no, we don't want to pay for this. And they still have that. But there are many instances where people have been helped a lot. You can probably even think of your own, a massage that you might have had that really helped you, and that particular modality would not be available for a lot of people. It's complementary alternative health care modalities that tend to be less expensive and very effective and less invasive. We feel that if this remains in the bill, there might even be employers who would rather have their employees choose one of those modalities because it's cost-saving to them in the end. And they would also not be able to do that as well. We would suggest that, in fact, what you do as a state and as a body that we have elected is do a study on cost-effectiveness of complementary and alternative modalities. Because then there will be a true answer to this. All of the reasons we've been given for including this have been rather evasive and non-substantiated by any sort of study, any kind of data at all. There was, in fact, a study published 10 years ago in the Archives of Family Medicine showing that physicians who practiced homeopathy spent more time than national average with each patient but ordered fewer tests and prescribed fewer conventional medicines. And this study complemented data published in France, which showed that there was 40% of the physicians used homeopathy, and it cost on a per-patient basis 15% less. That's a lot of money. And finally, there's a lot of physicians who recognize the benefits of these alternative therapies, and they do refer their patients to alternative therapies, even though they may not be practicing under the same roof. That doesn't mean that there's any more or any less supervision going on, if that's one of the concerns. Finally, I'd like to share a story with you about a workman's comp client of mine, and you can decide if you think that this person...
Ms. Berg, we have to be out of here in 3 minutes.
Okay.
So
thank you.
I think we get the idea on that. Are there any questions?
Can I just kind of wrap up on one thing, and that is that I treated a patient, a workman's comp patient, for a year and a half, who had chronic fatigue, and it cost him less than $1,000 for a year and a half worth of treatment. That's an amazing cost savings. His doctors did absolutely nothing for him, nothing. And so to remove this from the bill, or to include this in the bill and let it remain, there's a lot of people who will suffer from that.
So. Questions of Ms. Berg? Representative Stevens.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And Ms. Berg, this is Section 6 of the bill is the section we're talking about here.
I believe it's, you know, I'm not sure. I've got something here that says 11.27 subdivision 1B, but that might have been the House or the Senate version of it.
This is labeled complementary and alternative health care providers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, members, when we hear the bill tomorrow, you can keep Ms. Berg's comments, and I assume that someone may want to address it tomorrow then from both the sides who agreed to this bill and the Workers' Comp Advisory Committee. We'll take your comments and if any questions, other questions to Ms. Berg. Okay, members, Representative Bly then moves the minutes of the March 13th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, let me tell you, tomorrow we'll have two bills then and a present, the Nelson bill, the Marquardt bill, and we'll have a presentation by a constituent of mine on 21st Century Minerals request. We're going to be putting the bill together probably. I'm going to start with my staff here tomorrow and through the weekend. So I will email all of the members, the Republican members, on Monday sometime. Can we get it all on Monday? Monday, so you can have a advance time to look at the bill, and we'll start putting the bill together on Tuesday. Is our only day to do it. We have an afternoon and evening meeting, and we have to get the bill out to Representative Murphy's committee on Tuesday. So
you guys will see the bill on Monday then, and you can have your amendments and everything that you want ready for Tuesday. Is that all right? Anybody have any questions on that process?
I'm not showing
any of my members yet at all. You just vote. I look at you, I nod like this, you vote yes. That's how. You don't get to see it. Representative
Peterson, you look puzzled. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just thinking that Monday is an off day. Is that correct? So you're going to send it over the email wire?
I'm going to send it out to all of you email and the bill, and then you can have, and then your staff too. So you can communicate with your staff, and then if you.
So do we get a guaranteed percentage that will be accepted? Is that what we're saying here? Is that because it's an off day, we get 20% of our amendments will automatically be accepted? Are you negotiating?
In this committee, you might get more. Remember, they voted against me last year, my own members. So. And members, we have a meeting at 4 o'clock for the DSO members. So, any other questions? Representative Gunther? Representative Norman?
Mr. Chair, I'm just hoping that when you do your bill that it's short and brief, because I'm going to be driving for about 10 hours on Monday, and won't have a chance to read it until very late at night, Monday. So a quick read would be good.
We'll have some policy in there. I see Representative Kahn is here, anxious to get her. So there will be a little bit of policy in there, Representative Norris, but I'll tell you what. You take your computer with you, you have your wife drive, and you can look at it, okay? Meeting adjourned.